This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It's a big day today. A lot going on. Breaking news all over the place. The president's saying we're about to have a peace deal with Ukraine. Zelensky's coming to the White House tomorrow. And there's a budget deal. So I got to talk about all these things. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Great to have you with us on this busy Thursday. Well, it seems like every day is busy in the Trump administration. No doubt about that. Joining us now, and Justin, if you could put him up for me, I want to welcome back to the show. Congressman Scott Perry joins us. He's a true fighter for freedom, a patriot. And I'm grateful for his time today. How you doing, Congressman?
I'm doing great. And you know, you say it, like, you know, it's a busy day. Like every day is a busy, like there's so many things that are screwed up that the president has to fix. And, yeah. and he's a real president. He's a real leader. He knows who he is. He knows what day it is. He knows where he is. And, so this is the normal pace of what right looks like.
I would say so. And we're just not used to it after 4 years of a guy who was asleep at the wheel, literally in every way, but at the same time managing to hurt our country in every way. At the same time, it was a real trick that he pulled.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, he was the titular head. You know, he was the president of the United States by title. But I think there were a lot of people that were acting on his behalf. And A, he probably didn't care. B, he probably sanctioned it. B or C, he didn't know. And you're seeing some of that too. You know, when Elon says, look, this is a pulse check. Do these employees even exist? The point is that this huge bureaucracy, this fourth branch of government that doesn't have any accountability to the voters is used to just, you know, living through presidencies. We do what we want to. It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter what Congress says or what the president says. Like, we're in charge of our own little kingdom here. And you know, you can go ahead and think you're in charge, Mr. President. You can go ahead and think that your vote got you something, Mr. Citizen or Mrs. Citizen, but we're going to just keep doing what we think we want to do around here. And no one's ever questioned it in the last like 60 years. Right. So now they're shocked. They can't believe that somebody's asked them, like, are you at work and what do you do at work?
Yeah, and the power of the executive branch and all these agencies and departments, 400 of them that are supposed to be quote unquote independent, that have no the president is the executive branch. And I'm sick and tired of all of these various agencies, 3-letter, 4-letter, 5-letter in some cases, doing whatever the hell they want, working against the president, against the agenda that he ran on. It has to stop. And this is our moment in time right now. We've got this window here where we can actually do it.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you're right. They are independent agencies. They become independent of Congress. and they, you know, they screw things up. They mismanage things. They get the same amount or more money every single year. So there's no consequence for their failure or worse. And like I said, they have become unaccountable even to the chief executive, which is why I think in some cases where he has done things and people have told him, well, you're going to be sued. Like, I think that's actually the plan. I think what he's saying to the courts is like, okay, well, this is how I read the Constitution. Can you tell me who's right or wrong here? Is the administrative unelected bureaucratic state in charge of itself, or am I? And he wants the courts to decide that, so that all the crying and gnashing of teeth by the left, who has used, figured out long ago that they could use the taxpayers' money against itself to force programs and policies on them that were antithetical to America, to your family, to your community. The president wants the courts to weigh in so that he can say, look, you know, this is legitimate. I'm the commander in chief. I'm the leader of the executive branch, and I'm in charge of it. Now, look, the downside is when a Democrat gets elected, and it's going to happen sometime, probably, you know, in our lifetime again. I hope not, but you know, they're going to be in charge then too. But the point is for there to be accountability for the decisions that are made based on the executive branch. But in my lifetime, we've watched Republicans come and go. We watch President Trump come and go. And all they did was, you know, was slow roll everything and refuse to comply to everything. And so we really never got what we voted for, and they've gotten away with it. And I think he's saying, look, you know, either I'm in charge or not around here.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's because the people can hold the president accountable. We can't hold bureaucrats accountable. And that's what has to stop here. Let me ask you, Congressman Scott Perry, about the budget. And I want to particularly ask you about a tweet that you sent out earlier today. There's a lot of fear mongering going on about Medicaid. Now, you know, there's Medicare and there's Medicaid, and Medicaid deals with the poor. And you tweeted out improper Medicaid payments could amount to $1.3 trillion over 10 years. So as the media keeps writing all these, and the left keeps going on in this hysteria about how hospitals are going to start shutting down and everything else, where does all that stand right now with the budget, which was passed in the House, I know begrudgingly for a lot of conservatives like yourself, and now on its way over to the Senate?
Well, we made the best deal we could, and we also know it's just the first step. It's a framework by which to get things done. So, you know, first of all, for all the left, crazy left wing people and the protesters at my office and so on and so forth that are yelling and screaming at people, sending emails, driving trucks around with my name on it, et cetera, saying that we're cutting Medicaid, Medicare, or Social Security, all that is completely false. Not one of those three names are mentioned in the bill, not one time. In particular, Social Security can't under this provision called reconciliation, can't even be considered. So these are just outright fabrications on the face of them. But if you do want to talk about Medicaid has grown in size 51% in the last 5 years. 51% in the last 5 years. It is on an unsustainable course because the program was envisioned for the poor, the infirm, those simply that had no way to deal with their own health care needs. But this is an expansion of Obamacare through the Biden administration, and the largest population on Medicaid are now single able-bodied individuals. That you can say that another way, people that should work and have a job. Right. But so if we want to save that program for the truly infirm and the poor, we're going to have to do something. And what the place to start is to make sure that, you know, it's not like when you're a poor person, you get your Medicaid check. Right. You don't get a check. You go to the doctor's office and you get your treatment and you get yourself well, and the doctor reimburses. We're talking about over $1 trillion in improper payments. We're not saying take care from anybody, but what we are saying is we don't want to pay for fraudulent grifting theft anymore. Is that a problem for the left? I mean, it sounds like they're good with having your money stolen from you.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is exactly what jammed up Senator Menendez many, many years ago. Was a doctor bilking Medicaid and improper payments. And I know, I mean, I've talked to people in the healthcare industry about this. It's a threat to real legitimate hospitals when you've got doctors and these smaller clinics who are literally ripping off the government. And the fact that they're able to get away with this is amazing to me. It really is. But I guess nobody's bothered to uncover this, Congressman Perry, because they're afraid of the backlash, which, by the way, just a point on that, this backlash, this so-called backlash, you know, these are paid organizers here who are going around to these various town hall meetings and protesting. This is not an organic movement here of people. This is organized and funded, and we know exactly where the money's coming from.
Yeah, that is the case in on many occasions. I don't know that it's the case on every occasion. They send out emails and invite people to the protest, and the people see the email. They believe what's in it is true, and they think, well, I'm in jeopardy here. I need to go and have my voice heard. And we're certainly for having everyone's voice heard, whether it's at a meeting or whether it's at a protest. But here's the issue. There's no way for most people to verify the validity of the claim that's being made. And so, you know, they're not sure it's true, and they're, you know, they're scared to not say something on their own behalf. But I'm telling you on your show right now, if you read through the entire bill, which is just the first step, which is just the framework, it doesn't say Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security anywhere in that bill.
There you go. Switching gears to something very, very near and dear to my heart and yours as well. Our mutual friends over at the Media Research Center, they've got a bus going out, a truck going out there. Defund PBS and NPR. You've got a bill on this, Congressman Perry. You stand with them to stop the use of our hard-earned dollars on the slanted bias media. I cannot believe we're talking about this in the year 2025, still funding PBS and NPR.
Yeah, look, if you ever watch it, and there are occasions when I have watched it, and you have to wait through the programming for commercial breaks, right? There are, you know, this program is sponsored by X Corporation and X Foundation and so on. Those are commercials. Well, look, if I wanted to watch commercial TV, you know, I'd watch the Super Bowl and I'd wait for the ads to see if they were any good. The point of the public paying for it is it's supposed to be in the public interest. And we shouldn't have to endure the commercial ads. But apparently somebody's willing to pay for the commercial ads, and they're willing to pay for them because it's not really informative TV. It's propaganda paid for primarily by the taxpayer. Now, look, if you want propaganda, that's fine. Watch MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, like, you know, the you know, Reuters. You can read the Washington Post, the New York Times. There's, the universe is replete with near communist or at least socialist, left leaning, left wing propaganda outlets. But my point is that the taxpayers shouldn't be paying for one sided information that picks a political side and then tries to force it down your throat for the sake of watching. If certainly I don't want to watch, and I have heard, and when I, you know, watched after 2020, they wouldn't allow certain representatives to even be heard because they were characterized as insurrectionists because they disagreed with you know, how the election was conducted, and they had questions about it. Well, you know, they call that misinformation and disinformation. But a lot of people say that that's a reasonable question to ask, and it's not misinformation and disinformation. And again, I don't think that our tax dollars should be provided to the left to make that determination of what is and what isn't misinformation and disinformation.
First of all, I want to say, as I always do to you, thank you for your service. You are the guy who's, you know, helping to keep a check on the intelligence community. And in following your Twitter, Scott Perry, at Rep Scott Perry, which I highly recommend everybody follows you, you've pointed out a lot of things recently. It's being uncovered here with USAID and DOGE. And I'll just read a tweet from 2 hours ago. Reports indicate rogue CIA actors monitor Wikipedia. Taxpayer dollars should not be involved in editorial memorializing Wikipedia. I mean, to find out how our money's been used here through this USAID and through other means too, it's as if the deep state, the CIA, the NSA, without having their fingerprints on it, are able to facilitate propaganda, not just around the world, but here in the United States of America as well.
Well, it's doubly bad because what you're talking about is the Central Intelligence Agency, which is supposed to be looking outward beyond the borders of the United States at foreigners. Not only is it the insult upon injury that they're using your tax dollars to spy on you, but the fact is that the fact, you know, that they're spying on you at all as an American is against the law. It's against the law. So who's going to be prosecuted for this? That's the next question, right? And we have this huge intelligence community and architecture, and unfortunately, a whole bunch of it is pointed inward based on your political viewpoint. And the founders never, ever envisioned that, agreed with that. And it's just one more example of how this just huge government was way, way out of control.
Yeah. There's so many egregious examples I can ask you. But before I let you go, and I'm so grateful for your time today, there's a breaking news story regarding Jeffrey Epstein. And I'll read you the headline. It's from The Blaze. FBI in New York buried thousands of pages of Epstein's secrets, according to the Attorney General Pam Bondi, who is looking now to have all these things released. And this whole ordeal is amazing to me. And I'm convinced this guy was an asset in some way, shape or form. But the FBI never disclosed the existence of many of these files is what the attorney general is telling us. And you probably know a lot more than any of us do at this point, I would hope.
Well, look, I'd like to say that I know more, but I'm, you know, believe it or not, the Intelligence Committee is not focused on some of those things right now. And we're happy that the attorney general and soon I'm sure the FBI director and his deputy are going to be focused on these because this is information that, look, unless it has some national security nexus, it's in the public's interest to know this stuff. This is our government. It's not theirs. But if it does have a national security interest, how is it that what I think we need to be able to ask legitimately without embarrassment and without trepidation, what was worth it to allow a known pedophile operate at that level for as long as he did? What was the value that we got for allowing this known pedophile to abuse these people? And so we need to see the ledger here of you know what makes that so valuable, and then maybe us dumb people that, you know, go to work every morning and pay our taxes and head to church on Sunday morning and, you know, eat a breakfast or a dinner with our family on the weekends. Like, tell us dumb people why we're too stupid to figure that out on our own with this information.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to the bottom of all of this. I appreciate it, my friend. I really do. Keep up the great work. Like I said, you're a patriot. You are fighting to get us back to the constitutional republic that we're supposed to be, and we appreciate it very much. Congressman Scott Perry, follow him at Rep. Scott Perry. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless you.
The Rick Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, so we're awaiting the Jeffrey Epstein documents release, which could be it will be imminent, and I'm excited to get to the bottom of all this. I don't know how much we'll be able to get out here during the course of the show, what'll be coming out, but little by little things are coming out. Apparently, what the FBI, what Pam Bondi did was provide certain members of the media with these binders. And so, like Liz Wheeler, for example, is one of those people, and she put out a tweet saying, late last night, after it was clear Attorney General Pam Bondi would be imminently releasing the Epstein files, a source notified Bondi that the Southern District of New York is hiding more Epstein documents, lots more. We're talking evidentiary lists, names. Those files are where the big, let me just click on this link here to continue the post, are where the Let's see if I can find it here. Where the big names are and the recordings. The FBI hid this, hid it from Pam Bondi, hid it from Cash Patel, hid it from you. Attorney General Bondi has now ordered all Epstein-related content to be delivered to her so she can make it public. Okay, this is what we're all finding out right now, which is that the binder's there, and we're getting more details. So a lot of this is coming to light. I just want to mention, you know, as we're you think about the timeline of this. So March of 2005, a 14-year-old girl alleged to have been taken to Epstein's mansion. July of 2006, Epstein was arrested and released on $3,000 bond. November of 2018, the Miami Herald coverage renews public interest in the case. Let me go back. May 2006, police say Epstein should be charged with unlawful sex with minors and sexual abuse. In June of 2008, Epstein pled guilty, sentenced to 18 months in prison. November of 2018, Miami Herald coverage renews public interest in the case. And in July of 2019, Epstein was arrested on sex trafficking charges, as we all know. And then ultimately did not kill himself in prison. I mean, we know in jail, you know, we know that too. I mean, this there's no way this friggin' guy killed himself. You know that, I know that, everybody knows that. But to get who's involved in this and whose names have been protected and all of this stuff is beginning to come out now, and this is exciting stuff. And hopefully Pam Bondi lets it all out there. Cash Patel lets it all out there, and we'll see this. And remember, his death in 2019 was ruled a suicide by the New York City Medical Examiner. I don't believe that for a second. And the cameras were turned off. I mean, the whole thing stinks to high heaven. More details, we'll get them as they're coming out. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. And a birthday shout out to our buddy Amy, Princess of Profanity. We love you. You're a great part of the Zeoli Army. You're great. Your tweets are great. Thank you for all you do for us. And have a great birthday, my friend. Enjoy it. And we'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm high on the leader. Oh, man. Every day is a whirlwind. I love being back in afternoons. I really do, because it doesn't stop. Welcome back. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. So here's what Liz Wheeler put out recently about Epstein just a few moments ago. As you know, Attorney General Pam Bondi said she was going to release the documents today. The FBI was told to deliver the files to the Attorney General. They did. It's about 200 pages. The Attorney General spilled the rap because there was nothing juicy in the 200 pages, just flight logs and a Rolodex of phone numbers, no smoking gun. Still, Attorney General Bondi promised to release the documents, so she prepared a binder of them. Then, last night, a whistleblower contacted the Attorney General and revealed that the Southern District of New York was hiding potentially thousands of Epstein files, defying the Attorney General's order to give them all to her. We're talking recordings, evidence, juicy stuff, names. So the Southern District of New York, which is always held up as an example of one of the great law enforcement areas of the country. I mean, it's where Andy McCarthy came from. It's always considered to be so high ranking. It was covering this stuff up. Now, Liz Wheeler has one of these binders that Attorney General Bondi gave her, and she said, "Be outraged that the binder is boring. You should be, because the evil deep state lied to your face. The binder is powerful because it's tangible physical evidence of the disgusting stunt the Southern District of New York tried to pull. Bondi is now demanding all the Epstein evidence from the Southern District of New York, plus an investigation into the persons who committed this act of defiance. Legacy media has betrayed you again and again and again. They lie to you. They smear you. They gaslight you. They deserve no special access to real-time exposure of corruption because they played a role in covering it up in the first place. And be very angry that deep state agents in the swamp and at the SDNY are at this very moment defying President Trump and Attorney General Bondi and you who voted him into office lying and hiding the truth about the Jeffrey Epstein files. Now, there is something showing that Bill Clinton has been named on the Epstein list. A screenshot is taken directly from the Epstein Phase 1 binder released today. And his name is on there, on the flight log. So this is coming out right now. And hopefully, as the show goes on today, we'll get more details about this. But it's clear that there were definitely efforts at play here to cover all this up. And that should surprise nobody, obviously. I mean, nobody should be surprised at that. That's just the nature of how these swamp creatures work and what they were trying to cover up. But the question is, why? Why were they trying to cover it up? Who does it link in government? Who does it expose? Who's connected to this? How deep does it go? And to the point that I was raising with Congressman Scott Perry earlier, was Epstein used as an asset to try to get very important, powerful, and international people in compromising positions for the purposes of blackmailing them into doing the United States bidding? I mean, these are the kind of questions that I've had. I've long speculated about, and a lot of people have speculated about these things. But, you know, I give the Attorney General great credit for saying she's going to release these files, because even as of yesterday, talking to our buddy Jeffrey Tucker from the Brownstone Institute about this, and he said, you know, she's got to release these files. Everybody's waiting for it. So let's bring on a friend of the Attorney General, Pam Bondi's. Of course, I'm talking about our very own friend, Linda Kearns, attorney and one of President Trump's confidants. How are you, my friend?
Where's my walk-up music?
Well, we had it ready, but this Epstein breaking news kind of threw us for a loop. But go ahead, we'll play it for you. You deserve it. You deserve the walk-up music. It's fitting right now for the Southern District of New York potentially covering up all these documents about Epstein. Are you shocked by any of this, Linda Kearns?
Well, honestly, Rich, I've been in court all day, and I just got sprung from court, so I didn't even know what happened with Epstein. I'm a little behind here because I just got out of a courtroom.
Well, after your friend, the Attorney General, said that she wanted all the documents released, it turns out the Southern District of New York was hiding all of these files. And so now all of this is coming to light, and we're being told the documents will be released very, very soon. So we're on the cusp of all this at the moment. But as of right now, there's nothing really juicy because they were sitting on these things.
Well, what I can say is, I met Pam Bondi in 2020 in the election here in Pennsylvania, and we've been friends ever since. And I completely trust that she will absolutely get to the bottom of this.
All right, good. Excellent. Before we get into why I had you on the show today, Gene Hackman, by far the best Lex Luthor, no question about it. Am I right?
I'm not as into those, you know, superhero movies as you. I loved him in Hoosiers. I loved him in The Birdcage. So I can say that. So, yeah, I don't want to be found someday in my house mummified. So, you know, God bless him.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying now that the death is now labeled suspicious. So we'll see what comes out of that. But, man, he was a legend. That's for sure. And I don't know. You should be more into the superhero movies, Linda Kearns, because let's face it. We all need a good distraction in this day and age. Not that you have time for it, but we do need a good distraction.
I'm a real life superhero because all I do is work on elections. And that's actually why you have me on the show today, because I am still working to make our elections safer, to make our elections more honest. And that's why you're having me on the show today.
No, I'm having you on the show today because Matt DeSantis booked you on the show today. And that's because you two, with your little budding friendship, that's why you're here. Let's be honest. All right. I had no say in the matter.
This is what happened, Rich. There's a case called Baxter versus Philadelphia that was actually filed in the 2024 election. And it's yet another attempt of the left to invalidate the dating requirement. And that case went up to the Supreme Court before the election. But the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania said, look, we're not going to address this. We're not going to do anything about this before this election. So they put a pause on it. But now the case has kicked into gear again. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court is addressing whether the free and fair election elections clause would prohibit states from, or Pennsylvania from, requiring that these ballots be dated. And again, they're just trying to attack it again. So I filed what's called an amicus brief. It's called it's a friend of the court brief on behalf of Right, which is the organization that stands for Restoring Integrity and Trust in Elections, and the Honest Elections Project. They are two wonderful groups who we wrote a brief to assist the Supreme Court in coming to a decision on this issue. And the entire reason that I'm representing them, the entire reason I filed the brief, along with, you know, I want free and fair elections, is because I thought if I filed the brief, then I would have an excuse to call Matt DeSantis and be able to talk to him and be on your show. So that's kind of what motivates me. Things that I can do so that your producer will talk to me.
So it's amicus brief, not amicus brief.
Oh, you know, I always say amicus. Yeah, some people say amicus. But
no, I've always said amicus too, but you're an attorney. I'm not. Is there an actual, like in law schools at day one, they tell you it's how to pronounce amicus and voir dire? Is that day one of law school?
No, day one, they pretty much tell you that this is going to be between $60,000 and $75,000 a year, and your degree is pretty useless unless you pass the bar. And once you even pass the bar, it's not even that easy to get a job. So that's pretty much what they tell you on day one in law school.
You know, I had the honor of being with you at the Union League when you were recognized for all your outstanding efforts in this past election. But I'm surprised that now it's February and we're still talking about this issue of ballots. And I'm concerned about this because Pennsylvania has some very important elections coming up. It's not getting the attention, obviously, as the presidential election did. But we've got judges on the ballot. This is an important election year. I mean, every year is an important election year. But my God, we still have not resolved this issue, Linda.
It is not resolved. I mean, we drafted a really strong brief. I think that our position is really strong. This case is actually, voters sued the Philadelphia Board of Elections because their ballots weren't counted. Because they didn't date them, the Republican National Committee intervened. So some of my colleagues at the Republican National Committee are in the case. I was in the case at the very beginning at the trial court level, but now I'm representing these two organizations. And what we try to do is make sure that these courts have all of the information that they need to come to the right decision. And so that's why we filed this brief. And yes, the left is still attacking common sense election laws that were passed by the legislature, and they are trying to attack them. And I don't think it's ever going to stop, Rich, but I think it's important for listeners to know that we're here to protect them, to fight back. When these cases are filed, there's all sorts of organizations and the RNC, obviously, that fight back to make sure that our rights are being protected.
No, that's really important, Linda, and it's important to do. And I got to give you guys credit because you're not taking your foot off the gas here on this. And one of the biggest things that we've talked about this before in terms of getting people to trust the system was the fact that you and Chairman Michael Whatley, Laura Trump, were relentless in going after everything. And you had to wade through a lot of nonsense because there were a lot of things that were not true that were being reported. But the only way to ensure that people show up to vote or get their mail-in ballot in is if they trust the integrity of the process. So I'm glad that you're still on top of this because it's what's going to keep our people coming out. We had to overcome this, I think, mental state of mind where we all said this thing is rigged after 2020. And it was we spent years doing it, right? I mean, years of just rallying people like Gene Hackman and Hoosiers to say, we can win. We can win this thing, but we got to get out there. And trusting the process is the reason why we won.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that was my goal in 2024. And now that, you know, we had just such a resounding win in 2024, the work is not done. I mean, we have a lot to do in Pennsylvania. We need better election laws, but I'm not necessarily confident that that's going to happen anytime soon. So we have to be vigilant with regard to the election laws that we have in place and make sure that when they are attacked, when these common sense rules like date your ballot are attacked, that we're there to defend it.
You know, you made a great point to me regarding the The motor voter laws, which Shapiro put in place, which is that when you go to get your license and I guess you're automatically signed up to register to vote, and how that actually helps us in red areas because they're more suburban and there's more cars, more rural, and whereas in the cities, people may not need driver's licenses because they're taking the buses and they're taking that. I'd never really thought about it from that perspective before.
Right. Well, I mean, Rich, that's why you have me, so I can do the really tough Linda thinking Kearns. For you. Yeah. And obviously, you know, Matt DeSantis also, because he went to Harvard and he's so smart. So I know he does a lot of the tough thinking for you.
Please. He's just an elitist, useless. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't let you talk. You know, have to talk nice about Matt.
I'm stopping. I caught myself.
Right. So the motor voter law in Pennsylvania previously, you had the option to register to vote. So when you went to get your driver's license on the screen, it would say, would you like to register to vote? Governor Josh Shapiro signed an executive order that said that rather than ask you, it would just tell you we are going to register you to vote unless you opt out. So people were up in arms, especially Republicans. That's not necessarily good policy. The government shouldn't be telling you we're going to register you to vote unless you opt out. It's not good policy, but even though it's not good policy, it did help Republicans, because what do people in all of the suburban and rural counties in Pennsylvania need that the people in the blue counties like Philadelphia and Allegheny, where Pittsburgh is, not necessarily, what do they not need? And that is a driver's license. When you grow up in the city of Philadelphia, when you grow up in Pittsburgh, you might not need a driver's license right away because you can walk everywhere. You have the public transit. It's just not a driving culture. But in our suburbs and in our rural counties, the first thing kids do is get a driver's license because they need to drive around. And because a lot of those areas are actually red, what happened was we actually registered more Republicans than we normally would have. So that actually really helped us. It helped us to register Republicans. But registering that's just the first step, because registering people to vote, especially people who didn't do it on purpose, like they weren't there to register to vote, then they may not be as interested in the process as they need to be, and they might not show up. And that's why the RNC, and then also places like Right, which is Restoring Integrity and Trust in Elections, and the Honest Elections Project, we go a little bit further. We make sure people show up to vote. We make sure that we're constantly protecting the election laws. So like you said, our voters do feel more confident in the process.
Do you think, I mean, getting to know Pam Bondi the way you did during the election, Linda Kearns, I think she's going to do a phenomenal job as Attorney General of the United States. I really do. But what amazed me about her being with her is how incredibly humble she is. I mean, she's just a decent, humble person. We were on those calls together, and I'm blown away by that. And the reason why I bring that up is because, you know, people think of these people in these very high positions of power. And a lot of times they're just, let's face it, egotistical, maniacal, and you don't want to be around them. She's one of the most decent people. And I say that because part of what she has to do as Attorney General is protect the constitutional rights of the American people and undo the weaponization of this government that we have seen, which is targeted people. And that's why her being a down-to-earth, compassionate person, I think, is such a crucial part of the job.
No, absolutely. You're describing her exactly as she is. She's an incredibly hard worker. She's incredibly bright. And she made time for all of us on the campaign. And when I needed to call her, when I had a question, when I had a concern, she was absolutely there for me right away. She got me this bracelet that actually has the initials MAGA on it. And I'm always afraid to wear it because I'm afraid if it breaks, I'll lose it. So, she's a really sweet person to know, like just on a personal level, but she's also tough. She's also very knowledgeable. And, you know, she loves America. I feel that I am a very patriotic person, but next to Pam, I mean, she loves America, and she understands the importance of freedom and liberty. So we are incredibly lucky that President Trump chose her. We are very lucky. That was one of his best cabinet picks.
By the way, I got you a bracelet that says Matt DeSantis.
Oh, okay, I'll wear that one.
All right, Linda Kearns, keep up. Yes.
Please, the fact that you are so jealous that I like Matt better than you, I mean, it's so obvious. And it's not a good look on you, Rich. Like, just take it. Like, not everyone's going to like you the best. Like, I'm not your mom. I know your mom thinks everyone's going to like you the best, but not everyone will. So just realize, like, you know, hey, I like Matt and you, you know, not so much.
See, he's not even paying attention to the show right now. You're talking about him, and this is what I mean. He's doing something else.
No,
watching,
I was listening.
Captain Kangaroo or something, you know.
I was listening. Why would I interrupt Linda when she was saying so many nice things about me?
He probably records my hits and just replays them for himself.
I need to, because Rich just slaughters me throughout the rest of the show. This is like the one reprieve that I get.
I mean, I know, and don't worry, outrageous. Matt, because when I get invited to the Easter egg roll, I'm bringing you. Don't think I'm bringing Rich. So,
oh, yes, I love
don't
that.
Worry.
Thank
you're
you,
set,
Linda.
Okay?
This is why you're my favorite guest.
Exactly, exactly.
All right.
Well, if your
you
listeners want to
continue this on off the air, I'm going to take a break. I got to take a break. But you can keep chatting if you like.
If your listeners want to know more about restoring integrity and trust in elections, please Google them, and then also the Honest Elections Project. And just know that, you know, even though they may not be thinking about elections all the time, your listeners aren't thinking about elections all the time, we are. And we're going to not stop until elections are as safe and secure as they possibly can be.
Thank you for being the guardian that we need in this process, Linda Kearns. You're the best. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Bye, Matt. Call me later.
Unbelievable.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. So as we continue along the show here, we got more breaking news on the Epstein files. Apparently now they're saying that the files are going to be released tomorrow, Matt. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
So
you're discovering?
Yes, sort of. So Benny Johnson's producer, Alex LaRusso, tweeted out that apparently the information that the FBI field office in New York is in possession of and hasn't yet surrendered to Pam Bondi, that won't actually be delivered to the DOJ until tomorrow. So I'm kind of operating under the assumption that we probably won't get all of the details until tomorrow, assuming that report is correct.
And you're saying that our buddy Jack has a binder, too?
Yeah, I saw he was posting on X. Jack has a binder. I'm going to try to get him on today or tomorrow at some point. Hopefully he'll be on the show.
All right, good. That's Jack Sobiech, right? Am I saying that right? Sobiech?
I'm always anxious about the pronunciation, but yeah, I'm like 99.9% sure you're correct.
Poso. So it's interesting that Bondi gave these binders to certain influencers on social media. It was an interesting choice by the Attorney General to do that. But hey, they got big followings and they're getting the word out there. So probably a smart strategy of her to do. All right, we'll continue. We'll keep you updated on all this. Emmons Roofing and Siding, you got to reach out to them today. 10% off. Look, spring right around the corner. Time for those home improvements and repairs you've been putting off. The reason why you can trust Emmons and their team is because they are dedicated to customer satisfaction. They serve our whole region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And they're going to make sure you're happy and the job is done right. So what are you waiting for? Reach out to Emmons today. Just go to emmonsroofing.com. They also have a bathroom remodeling division. They remodeled the bathroom in our old house. Did a great job. I mean, really phenomenal. Bridget was thrilled. That's what matters, right? Happy wife, happy life. You'll be happy, too. And you'll be happy with the craftsmanship. You know, that roof, that Owens Corning shingle, lifetime warranty, excuse me, the best in the business. It used to be 30 years. Now it's lifetime. Lifetime warranty. The absolute best. And Anderson Windows, I mean, the best. So 10% off on all these projects. Your home will not only look more beautiful from the curb appeal improves, but the insulation of your home improves, value, all of it. It's great. So just make the call to Emmons. They're very busy, but you tell them I sent you, they'll make you a priority. EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show.
Stop me now.
Look at this. I have a special co-host. Look at this.
Because I'm having a good time.
My daughter, Reagan. Just joining me in the studio.
Dad being funny.
What is Dad being right now?
Funny.
Dad's being funny. You want to say hi to everybody listening on the radio? What do you want to say? How was your day at school? Did you have a good day?
How's your day at school? Have a good day.
No, no. I'm asking you, how was your day? Did you have a good day?
How's your day?
You just get to repeat it. Did you tell everybody not to be a metagon?
Did you tell everybody to not be a metagon?
Okay, Reagan. So you're just going to repeat everything I'm saying like a puppet?
Okay. Wait, is this going to repeat everything I say, you little puppet?
All right, now, serious question for you, okay, because you're on the radio now, so you can hear it. You hear that? So, serious question, do you like cooking with Daddy?
No, I want to put both on.
You want to put, I can't give you both headphones, because I got to monitor the show, but do you like cooking with Daddy?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's your favorite thing to make?
Can I hold that?
No, you want to hold this one? You can hold this one, okay? This is my soon-to-be five, how old are you?
4 years old.
Yeah, and then when are you turning five?
In April.
April what?
16th.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's your birthday. Daddy's birthday is coming up soon, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right. So what's your favorite thing to cook? Do you like making pasta?
I love doing everything, even if Daddy pulls down his underwear.
Daddy doesn't pull down his underwear. What are you saying right now? Did you stop? I told you, no potty jokes. This is the four-year-old sense of humor. You look so pretty today. I love your headband. Reagan. Okay.
I love it, but...
What? What?
I don't know.
Do you want it? Can you say it, everybody? Can you say, this is the Rich Zeoli show? Can you say...
No.
Nope, she's done. Okay, that's it, and she's done. All right. Well, thank you, Reagan, for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Special guest, Reagan Zeoli. She just decided she's walking off the set. Matt DeSantis just had a guest walk off the set. I feel like Smirconish right now.
I thought it was a good interview. I don't know why she left.
Yeah, you know, it was a compelling, stunning interview. I can't believe she just got up and left in the middle of the interview.
I like when she just parroted everything that you said. We've never had a guest do that before, so that was entertaining.
I had so much to ask her. I was going to get into so many things with her, but, you know, there just wasn't enough time. So I guess she has another hit. I think she's got a hit at 5 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she had a hard out. You had to respect
Yeah, she had
it.
A hard out. She got another hit, and she needs a snack, basically. So, you know, she needs her 5 o'clock feeding. All right. Well, listen, we got a big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead for you. We're getting breaking news on all the Epstein files. Hopefully we'll get some more stuff. There's news breaking on the trans vegan cult. And the president says tomorrow we're going to have peace with Zelensky. So we'll find out if that's the case as well. So big 5 o'clock hour coming up straight ahead. I do want to tell you about Dr. Mike Veneria, because when it comes to Dennis, you have a choice. And that little guest of mine is one of Dr. Mike's patients as well. That's right. The entire Zeoli family goes to see Dr. Mike Veneria for all of our dental care needs. And he's the man. He's the best. He's also the master of dental implants, the master of giving you the smile you deserve. When it comes to complicated dental implants, for example, like implant dentistry, there's just no one better. So you got to go see Dr. Mike today. Get a free implant consultation and two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury right over the bridge. So easy to get to. And if you're saying to yourself, like, Zeoli, why would I cross a bridge to go to the dentist? That's because you will be getting the absolute best experience possible. Everybody in the office is terrific, great music playing, and Dr. Mike is a great guy to talk to. And hey, if I trust that beautiful little girl, if I trust Dr. Mike with that beautiful girl, her smile, and Patrick and Claire's too, and of course Bridget, and Mama Zeoli discovered him, you know that you can trust Dr. Mike with your family as well. So VeneriaDental.com, make your appointment today.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.